Match day three started in style with a phenomenal 43 goals across the nine matches. Defending champions Paris struck seven in Leverkusen. Barca and PSV hit six, with Ballon d'Or winner Ousmane Dembele back amongst the goals. Arsenal, Dortmund and Inter scored four, whilst there were also crucial victories for Newcastle and Manchester City. Stay with us as we dissect all the action and look ahead to Wednesday's league phase fixtures. Natalie Sawyer, and what a night of Champions League football we've just been treated to. I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Kevin Hatchard and Jonathan Beck, who kept me company during a thoroughly enjoyable evening. My goodness, it's been breathtaking. We've got to get our breath back after goals, goals and more goals. Not a bad night of action, Kevin.
Absolutely. Great fun in the Champions League and a night of statements, I thought. Barcelona, Paris, Arsenal all said, look how good we are, and be scared of us, because I think all of them have shown they can win in different ways and they can win in a really comprehensive manner. Really great night of quality, I felt.
A lot of statement victories out there, and one of those came at the Arsenal Stadium, Jonathan.
Yeah, a brilliant, really good second half display from Arsenal. A display that at half time you maybe didn't see coming, and at 55 minutes you might have been forgiven for thinking Atletico would be the ones to score first, because in that opening 10 they were the better side, with Julian Alvarez starting to exert control. But just moments later, Gabriel nodded in, and then there were three more goals in the next 12 minutes as Arsenal took control, not only scoring but keeping them out. Remarkable. 12 games this season, only three goals conceded, and none at all in the UEFA Champions League.
Yeah, that game at the Arsenal Stadium, and it finished 4-0 then to Arsenal. Elsewhere, Leverkusen 2, Paris Saint-Germain 7 is how that one finished up. Manchester City were 2-0 winners at Villarreal. PSV, big winners too over Napoli as they won 6-2 in that one. Copenhagen 2, Borussia Dortmund is how that game finished up at Parken. Inter Milan had a big win at Union Saint-Gilloise as they won 4-0. Newcastle put 3 past Benfica to seal a 3-0 victory. Barcelona 6, Olympiacos 1 was from the earlier kickoff, and the only game that finished goalless was between Kairat Almaty and Paphos. OK, let's begin our review then from the Arsenal Stadium in London, as Diego Simeone's Atleti were the visitors to a side who'd won both of their league phase matches so far. Kevin Hatchard was watching for Match Day Live alongside Jonathan Beck.
There's pushing and shoving, and now they break. It curls in right footed, and there's the header from Arsenal. And it's another man who gets right on the end of these set pieces, Gabriel. Here goes Luis Scali from deep, and he's reached the edge of the D, and he's found Martinelli. Oh, that is something really, really special.
It's a lovely finish by Martinelli, but this goal, Jonathan, is all about Miles Luis Scali. It is a super run.
And it's opening up for them down the left again. There's a lofty ball for Martinelli, into the centre, Gyökeres! From the penalty spot, into the corner it goes, and his long wait for a goal is over. For Declan Rice to bend in right-footed, to the far post, where they've got a player coming around, and it's nodded down for Gyökeres again. Well, you wait 9 games, and then 2 come along at once. Arsenal in dreamland. They lead by 4 goals to nil.
Yeah, that is how it finished in the end. An emphatic victory for Mikel Arteta's side. And a lot will be made, Kevin, of the set plays, which we know Arsenal are so fantastic at. But one goal in particular might stand out as well, in particular for the work made by Miles Luis Scali, which led to Martinelli's goal.
Just watched it again, actually, on our monitors. It is an unbelievable run, because the first bit is he lets Simeone run past him, not Diego, I should say, the coach, but his son. And Giuliano, suddenly, he's away from him. And then that opens up the first bit, and then he sees he can run past Gallagher, he sees he can run past Alvarez. So he's already had this storming run. And then at the end of it, you've got to, when you're running at full speed, come up with the idea of, how am I going to play this ball to Martinelli? If it hits it too strongly, it moves up on his left foot, and that's not where he wants to be. If I don't get enough on it, he'll turn into a defensive challenge. but it's perfect because then all Martinelli's got to do is open up his body. It's still a lovely finish. Don't want to minimise what Martinelli did, but the run from Miles Lewis-Skelly is phenomenal. And that, I know they were 1-0 up at that stage already, but that breaks open the game. That really does break Atletico, who for a lot of this game were very competitive and very much in it.
Yeah, it was Gabriel header that gave Arsenal the lead before Martinelli's second. And then a double from Victor Gyökeres sealed it for Arsenal. And it indeed means that the Swedish striker has been named the UEFA Player of the Match. Jonathan, a standout performance from him.
Yeah, particularly in the second half. And we were saying, weren't we, this could be... We talk turning points when strikers go for a long time without a goal, like he did for 9 games, and then come in and do what they did. But he's that kind of player. He's got that physique that can make him look barreling and difficult to deal with, but he's got the finesse that he can bring balls down like he did for that fourth goal. And yes, he got the help of a deflection from Hansko to squeeze it into the corner. But this could be the moment. You know, it's a big competition, of course. It's a big global stage, and he's done it. I mean, he could even have got a hat-trick if he wasn't taken off. So we might be having a word with Mikel Arteta. But hit 2 goals and a really good second-half display. For him and for strikers, it's about confidence, isn't it, which breeds goals.
I thought it was smart coaching, actually, Arteta taking him off. Yeah, because he wanted him to get that standing ovation at the end of the game. Because exactly what we're talking about, what you have to do, I think, as a coach, when you bring a guy in like this, and especially a profile, a guy you don't have, you need to form a bond with the fans. So him scoring those goals, and then he comes off, and everybody at the Arsenal Stadium is clapping him off, he'll take that with him. And they will as well. And that's important, I think, because step by step, it's about him feeling part of this team. Because the way they play at the moment, they're not used to having a centre-forward like that. They're used to a Kai Havertz, who I love. I think Kai Havertz is brilliant, but he plays in a very different way. He's a guy who plays with his back to goal. He's a guy that protects the ball. Gyökeres doesn't do that. He runs in behind. It's a completely different thing. So I think this is big for him because he didn't score against Manchester City. Didn't have a chance made for him, really. Didn't score at Anfield against Liverpool. But against Atletico Madrid, a really top side, he scored a couple of goals.
I like that. Taking him off for the ovation, but also taking him off, perhaps leaving him wanting more.
Yeah.
That hat-trick possibly to come another time as well. From that performance then, Jonathan, are Arsenal certainly a team we should be looking out for in this competition?
Yeah, I mean, they were billed as one of the pre-tournament favourites. They backed that up with 3 consecutive victories. It's difficult to look beyond them. They may not have been as clinical or as ruthless as some of the sides tonight. They didn't score 6 and 7, but what they did at home against an Atleti side who can cause everybody problems is they mixed their game up. They approached it different ways. They move down the right, they move down the left. They could play like the old Atleti if they need to. They can sit deep and they can counter. They've got more counter-attacking phases actually in the Premier League this season than any other side. So Mikel Arteta isn't afraid to have them perform like an Atleti on a game night where they need to be that kind of really difficult, intense team to break down. So yeah, they've got so many ways of winning a game. Set pieces we touched on. You've got the power of Gyökeres running in behind. You've got Martinelli, who can't stop scoring in the competition. The combination of Timber and Saka on that right-hand side. So yeah, I think they would give any team in this competition a good game.
Just have to wave the flag a little bit for Atletico, because actually I thought this kind of is in keeping with their season, right? Lots of results that haven't gone their way, but when you look at the performances, they're not bad, really. And 50 odd minutes they were in the game against one of the tournament favourites. There's a moment where Alvarez, early in the second half, suddenly decides, I've had enough of this, I'm taking over the game. And he starts making these mazy runs, he turns in field, he has this curling shot that beats Raya, all ends up, comes off the crossbar. If that goes in, it's a completely different game. So Diego Simeone will be hurt by the nature of the scoreline. He'll be upset that it's a defeat for them away from home again. But I think when he actually gets the tape and actually looks at it, he'll think, there was a lot of good things in here that I think I can build on.
Well, let's bring you reaction then from the Arsenal Stadium. A 3rd successive clean sheet for the hosts. And it was a defender, in fact, that opened the scoring. Here's the thoughts of Gabriel.
Yeah, we are so happy. We know we play at home in front of our fans. And we front a big team like Atletico. But everyone work well. And yeah, we need to keep it going, and of course a big win, need to enjoy, but need to rest as well because we have a big game on Sunday as well.
So that was Gabriel. Let's move on, shall we, to the holders, Paris Saint-Germain. This game pretty much had everything as well. It had 9 goals, 2 red cards, Kevin.
It did. They won 7-2, Paris. I think their 3 best performances of the season have all been in this competition. They demolished Atalanta on match day 1. I thought they were unbelievable away at Barcelona. In a game we covered on match day live, I thought they were brilliant in that game, especially second half. And in this game, what was really interesting was that they took the lead. William Pacho, very rare goal from him. Used to play in Germany for Frankfurt. Far post header from him. And then Alex Garcia is able to equalise from the penalty spot. But that's after Robert Andrić is sent off for an elbow that struck the face of Désiré Doué. Zabani was then sent off for Paris, which gave away a penalty which Garcia scored from. So you've got a situation where it's 1-1, 10 against 10. You're thinking, OK, how's this going to go? They're scary enough 11 against 11. But you give those guys, Kvaratskhelia, Doué, Barcola, you know, you give those guys space, they are unbelievable. And Doué, his 2 finishes, I mean, he's only just come back from injury, and he looks like he's never been away. And then Dembélé comes on second half. He's back from injury, the Ballon d'Or winner. He scores a goal. Kvaratskhelia's goal was great, strikes it from just inside the area, off both posts and in. Now, let's not forget, Bayer Leverkusen hadn't lost under Kasper Juhlmann, their new coach. It's their first defeat. They'll have to brush this off and go again. But what it was for me is a little sign from Paris to say, we're the champions for a reason. You should be all terrified of us. And I would be if I'd watched that.
Yeah. 6 different scorers with Doué getting a double as well. You mentioned Usman Dembélé. How big is it to have him now back?
It is big, but I think what they've taught themselves in his absence and in Doué's absence is that they're okay because they've got Barcola. And what I actually love is that, you know, we talk about all the stars that Paris have brought in down the years. What they've been able to tap into in the last couple of years is their academy and Mbaye and Maiulu and all of these guys who have come through. So yes, they've brought in guys from elsewhere, other clubs, but they've got young guys who are coming through and can really play well. I think Maiulu's a great player and he started this game and was really dangerous. So yes, great to have Dembélé back, great to have Doué back, but they've got phenomenal depth in those forward areas.
And Jonathan, we know how hard it is for a team to defend the Champions League, but as Kevin points out there, they certainly have the talent to go deep.
Yeah, we saw it happen last season. Kev talked about the evolution just before we got into the second half, and it's just, you know, every manager wants to be given the chance and given the opportunity to refresh the side and to go again. And, you know, he's able to do that. He's got the resources, he's got the backing, he's got the squad. And he's, you know, they're just a machine.
I still think they're the team to beat because they have an amazing coach. They have a coach that can be quite ruthless and analytical in the way that he looks at things, because Gigi Donnarumma was unbelievable last season. Without him, maybe they don't win the Champions League. But then he looks at it and thinks, right, but how can we progress? And he's made this decision. He's been quite open about it publicly. I felt we needed a different profile of goalkeeper. So Lucas Chevalier comes in from Lille and Donnarumma then moves on to Manchester City. So if you've got that mind that's so analytical and ruthless, then you've got all these amazing players. I do think Luis Enrique has blossomed into being this incredible coach, right up there with the best we've got right now in the sport. And I think with that, with the players they've got, they're the team to beat.
Let's take you to Spain, where Manchester City were 2-0 winners over Villarreal. The goals were scored in the first half for this one. Erling Haaland, in fact, opened the scoring before Bernardo Silva added a second before half-time. Erling Haaland has scored now in his last 12 games. It's 24 goals and counting for him this season for club and the country. He is just an absolute phenomenon. One of the best strikers in world football right now, I guess we have to say.
Oh, absolutely. I think for me, the conversation right now, if you're talking about strikers, is probably Mbappe, Kane and him right now. Ousmane Dembele will go, excuse me, I've just won the Ballon d'Or, thank you very much. But he plays in a different way. So he doesn't play that out-and-out centre-forward for me. I still think he's brilliant, but he doesn't quite play in that way. But Haaland's consistency, the way he looks after himself, the way he moves, people look at his size and they look at his height and they look at his pace. Watch how he moves. So intelligent. He always knows which angle to go. He always knows which pockets of space to pick up. He's a phenomenon. What I've always loved about him is how hard he is on himself. Because you listen to him, he will say, if he's had a season where he got 50 goals, he'll say, yeah, but should have got 65. And he'll look back through and think he should have got a load more goals. And I think that's great because all of those top players are like that. Really self-critical.
Well, he's scored more goals than games that he's played in when it comes to the Champions League. 53 goals to the 51 Champions League matches that he has played in. Rico Lewis was the player that set him up for that opening goal, and he's been reflecting on playing alongside the Norwegian striker.
It's amazing. Play with him in the team, it helps more than you think. You know, he draws so many defenders, which frees up other people. And then when them people are free, it frees himself up. So it's impossible to defend. So, you know, credit to him. He's such a hard worker and he never stops wanting to score. And you can see that.
So that was Rico Lewis. The UEFA player of the match was Savinho, who had a hand in both goals. It was his pass that set up Lewis for the assist. And in fact, it was his cross that led to Bernardo Silva's header to double Manchester City's lead. So 2-0, that ended up being for Pep Guardiola's side. Inter Milan put four past Union Saint-Gilloise. A fantastic victory once more for Inter Milan against a manager who's managing in his first ever Champions League game for Union Saint-Gilloise.
Yeah, welcome to the Champions League, David Hubert. look, this was the continuation of what's been a great run for Inter. Our seven on the spin now in all competitions. And when you think that Christian Kivu went in there having to replace Simone Inzaghi, who got to not one Champions League final, but two with Inter in three seasons, they are big boots to fill. And Kivu, I think, who is into through and through, has really embraced it. And they've made some changes, but he's got some amazing players there. Boni, I think, has really stepped up in the absence of Turam. Esposito, I think, is a really exciting young talent. Lautaro Martinez is Lautaro Martinez. I mean, he's an unbelievable striker, their record scorer in the Champions League. So they've got the building blocks that you need. And they've looked really, really sharp in this competition. For Union Saint-Gilloise, it's no disgrace. This is the level that they're at now. This is how they're having to compete against these top, top teams.
It is a third successive victory for Inter Milan as well. They've scored 9 goals in this Champions League campaign, conceded 0 as well. Sort of following a similar theme, Jonathan, to Arsenal.
It's a remarkable night, you know, not just the goal scoring, but the clean sheets that we talked about. And Paris Saint-Germain couldn't keep a clean sheet, but that was just about the only thing missing from their CV.
I think they'll take the 7.
They'll take the 7 instead. Inter, I mean, we know they're such a defensively well-structured side. No matter who's been in charge in recent seasons, they've been really hard to break down. So they'll be as pleased with that. You know, they're there and thereabouts. You know, you could easily see them going deep and reaching the latter stages of this competition. They've been there in recent years in the final itself, so they want to take that next step and you know, pick up that trophy.
To St James's Park, where Newcastle have picked up back-to-back wins in this Champions League as they beat Benfica by 3-0. Benfica had some early chances in this match, both falling to Luca Bacchio. First one saved by Nick Pope from a tight angle, and then the second saw him curl one from the right-hand side, just going past the post. It was Anthony Gordon, though, that gave Newcastle the lead just after the half-an-hour mark from a cutback from Jacob Murphy. And then maybe one of the assists of the season, it came from Nick Pope, who had the quick thinking to throw the ball out to Harvey Barnes, who still had plenty of work to do as he had to run the remainder of the distance to the goal, but he was able to slot home for the second, and then Harvey Barnes got his second of the match with an assist from Gordon as well. After their defeat to Barcelona on match day one, 2 wins out of 2 will sound lovely for Eddie Howe.
Yeah, it will. Worth checking out that assist on UEFA.com, by the way. It's an absolutely brilliant piece of play. I think this is really big for them, not just in the Champions League, but in the season as a whole, because they lost at Brighton. There have been a few games where Eddie Howe has felt they haven't quite got the results that match the performances. They've struggled to put 90-minute performances together. But these big home nights in the Champions League are the ones that people remember, and they're the ones that give you genuine energy and genuine momentum. I love Nick Voltimada. I think he's a brilliant player. He's got enormous potential, and I think the fans love him already. I thought they would, and they absolutely do. And I think what they've got is they've got pace in wide areas as well. Harvey Barnes, you mentioned, Anthony Gordon, Ilanga's gone there as well. So they do have that pace in transition. It's just about how they manage the Premier League and the Champions League, because they struggled with that last time. So it's now about, do they have the squad to quite do that? But it's a great win.
It is only the second time Eddie Howe has beaten Jose Mourinho in his managerial career. The first time was when he was at Bournemouth, and they beat Chelsea 1-0 in 2015. Still to come in the podcast, we're heading off to Spain, where there were 7 goals in the match between Barcelona and Olympiacos.
Take control of your own team of stars with UEFA Champions League Fantasy Football, presented by PlayStation. With incredible prizes up for grabs every match day, download the official Champions League app to get playing.
Off to Spain now, where Olympiacos headed to Barcelona.
Fermín López, support here from Lamine Yamal. It's brilliant from Barcelona, and it's the first goal of the game, and it's taken just over 5 minutes. Barcelona with a man down, but on the attack with an opportunity for goal number two, and it's taken, and it's the second of the night for Fermín López. El Kabi. This time it will count. Ayub El Kabi was denied his header, but he's just managed to squeeze that penalty home. It is 2-1 now. The bounce beats Marc Casado. Good play by Santiago Heze, who's then going to get pulled up here by the referee. And if it is Heze, he's going to be in big trouble, because he's already got a yellow. And Olympiacos find themselves down to 10. De Jong trying to keep it simple, short, sharp, precise passes. Rashford, challenged by the goalkeeper, goes down. It will be a penalty. Lamine Yamal scored 5 goals in the Champions League last season. Is he going to get one here now? He certainly is. And he made it look very easy indeed. Here's Rashford. Looks to tee it up. And finds the back of the net for his 3rd Champions League goal of the season. Here is Bajic, who made his debut for Sweden in the international break. Looking to make an instant impact. There's number 5. Lashed home for the hat-trick. Fermín López. What a night for him. Here's Rashford. Brilliant control and a lovely finish for number 6. Marcus Rashford firing on all cylinders in the Champions League this season.
7 goals scored, 6 of them going the way then of Barcelona. Fermín López hat-trick, Marcus Rashford double, and Lamine Yamal penalty, earning them that victory over Olympiacos. And by the way, Yamal has become the youngest ever player to make 25 appearances at 18 years and 100 days. I have a feeling, Kevin, he's going to have a good career.
I think he might.
Yeah.
He's got a decent chance of it. I mean, he's just phenomenal. I mean, I look at that Barcelona team, actually. You look at Pedri, you look at Kubasi, you look at Lamine Yamal. Those three alone have played more than 400 games for Barcelona between them. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Fermín is one that people don't really talk about, actually, but he gets his goals. I mean, he plays a part in that squad. And what I think they've got that some teams don't, they do have a squad. They do have real depth, especially in those attacking areas.
By the way, the 17-year-old Dro Fernández was handed a Champions League debut for Barcelona as well. Obviously, no surprise, Jonathan, that they just unearthed these talents.
They've just got... they're one of those clubs like Ajax that have this incredible academy, La Masia, that just produces the players that fit their system so well, because it's been that same system for such a long time that they go again and again and again. And Yamal is a generational kind of talent. You know, that itself is a rare diamond. But who knows how good the next 17-year-old, 16-year-old off the production line could be.
Exactly. As we said there, 6 goals scored today. Barcelona have scored 52 goals in 17 Champions League matches under Hansi Flick. There's not been a single match in which they have failed to score. quite incredible. Fermín López getting that hat-trick. He was named UEFA's Player of the Match. Let's move on to Eindhoven, where PSV came from behind to beat Napoli 6-2. A superb win for the Dutch champions then against the Serie A champions as well. And PSV are the first Dutch side to score 6-plus goals in a single UEFA Champions League or European Cup game since Ajax back in October 1979. Quite a terrific victory for them then against Napoli. As I said, Napoli took the lead in this one, but in the end, the points go the way of the home side. And that seems to be quite a statement victory for PSV.
Yeah, it's remarkable. They did Napoli have a player send off, but that was quite late on, Lorenzo Luca, who was sent off, and McTominay scored after that. And I think if you'd asked plenty of PSV fans, when McTominay put Napoli ahead, what's going to happen? They would have said, well, this is going to be a tough night against a big side. But, you know, they turned it around. It's a really big week for them. They're second. They're going well. They go to Feyenoord, who are the leaders in Rotterdam at the weekend. So that's a huge game, first against second. And this is just such a big result to give them that boost. And, you know, they got an awkward start, beaten by Union Saint-Gilloise, turned it around, got themselves a point. Now, a really big statement. In the same way as Arsenal, against a really big European side, that is a statement kind of result for certain. And they've got two more days to prepare. Feyenoord have to play Thursday. They're playing Panathinaikos in the Europa League. So it could be a really important week domestically and in Europe for PSV. And that for Peter Bosz, you know, they had players playing well. Dennis Mann, the Romanian winger, getting two goals. He's been in and out of the side. That's a big statement for him as well. So, yeah, really good week for them.
Yeah, Dennis Mann named the UEFA Player of the Match. In Copenhagen, Borussia Dortmund won by 4-2 in this one. This was a game you were keeping right across, Kevin. As I say, Dortmund picking up the points and a convincing win?
Yeah, in the end. Copenhagen were competitive, but that's now Dortmund having scored 4 goals in each of their first 3 Champions League games. So that's a good sign. And I was in Munich for Der Klassiker. They lost to Bayern München in that game 2-1. Didn't have a great first half, had a great second half. Felix Metscher missed a big, big chance, but he rebounded from that in this game, scored a couple of excellent goals, put them 1-0 up with a wonderful finish into the top corner. And then the goal that really broke the back of Copenhagen, the goal that made it 3-1, showed great strength to hold off his man, and then a shot that was deflected in. This was a really important moment, I think, for Dortmund, because having lost in Munich, they really needed to bounce back, and they've made a really good start. 7 points from the first 3 games. They've had a really good run in this competition in the last couple of seasons, and they'll feel they can go deep again.
Quite incredible, that consistency of goal scoring, like you've just mentioned. They're now the second highest goal scoring team in the Champions League in this campaign, just one behind Paris 13.
It's not bad, is it, really? And they're not relying solely on Seru Girassi, which I think could become a problem. But actually, what Niko Kovac has done, the coach, since coming in, is he's made them very, very unpredictable in attack. It's not just Seru Girassi. They've got goals from Adeyemi. They've got goals from midfield. Rami Bensabaini put away the penalty. So they are unpredictable in that sense. It's not just about Girassi.
Felix Nemecha on the score sheet a couple of times, and he was named the UEFA Player of the Match. Let's take you to one of the earlier kickoffs as well, where it finished goalless between Kairat Almaty and Paphos. But quite incredibly, Paphos had João Correa sent off after just 4 minutes. They also had a goal disallowed for offside. It means they've earned a second point on the road, and it's a first point for Kairat Almaty. But huge credit, really, to Paphos to survive as long as they did and come away with a point.
Well, it was a phenomenal effort, really, because not only did they see out a goalless draw, having played 10 against 11 for almost the whole game, they actually nearly won the game. Anna Bekov, the goalkeeper for Kairat, made a few really, really good saves. David Luiz, the veteran defender, came very close to scoring. And you look at Paphos' campaign so far, okay, they conceded 5 against Bayern. Most teams concede 5 against Bayern, so that's just the way it goes. But actually, away from home, goalless draw at Olympiakos, it's not easy. Goalless draw away at Kairat, and Kairat would have targeted that and thought maybe that's a game we can win. So actually, considering they've never played in the league phase of this competition before, I think that's been a good effort.
OK, let's return to London and the Arsenal Stadium and hear from the Arsenal boss, Mikel Arteta, after his side's 4-0 win over Atleti.
And we knew that, obviously, as long as the score was 0-0 or 1-0 losing, it was going to be really tough. After the goal, I think they opened up a little bit and it was a little bit easier for us to find the spaces. Very happy. I think we had a big performance, big results, and very well deserved 3 points. A big team performance without individual performance is very difficult. And at this level in the Champions League, you really need to step up on everything that you do individually. We certainly we've done that in every phase of the play, and I'm very happy.
Yeah, 3 wins out of 3 then for Arsenal. Now, we've got 9 more games to look forward to on Wednesday in the Champions League. The pick of the bunch, you'll be able to hear full commentary right here on UEFA Champions League Matchday Live as Real Madrid welcome Juventus to the Bernabeu. That game in itself, 2 European giants coming up against each other. It's pretty tasty.
I mean, the Champions League phase just keeps delivering.
It does.
It's brilliant because you get so many exciting games anyway, but some real big hitters going up against each other. It's quite a nice clash of styles, that, because Real Madrid's still learning under Xabi Alonso, but generally playing really well. Kylian Mbappe's just in unbelievable form at the moment, just goal after goal after goal. But Juventus have some firepower as well, but in recent games haven't quite brought it to bear. So that's the big challenge for Juventus. How can they challenge Real Madrid in the way that Marseille did? Even though Marseille lost on match day one, I thought they played really well at the Bernabeu. So Juventus need to look at that and see how they can hurt them.
So there's that game to look forward to. Anything else that stands out for you, Jonathan?
Yeah, I think we're going to get goals at Stamford Bridge. The last time Ajax went there with Chelsea, it finished 4-4. Chelsea coming back from 4-1 down. Ajax losing 2 players to red cards in the space of a minute. We've had 43 goals tonight. I mean, we could be heading for a record. If we get another bucket load tomorrow night over the, you know, can compare like with the league phase rather than the group stage, 2 more games per night. So who knows? 43 goals tonight. We only need a couple, you know, let's say 25 more, and we've got the record.
I'll tell you the other game that isn't going to end 0-0, and if it does, I apologise in advance. Eintracht Frankfurt Liverpool, yeah. No chance. I mean, Eintracht Frankfurt's games have just been phenomenal. Loads of goals scored, loads of goals conceded. They don't care who it is, they're going to go for them anyway. They're going to have a brilliant crowd behind them. I think that's going to be an amazing occasion.
Awesome, cracking games to look forward to. A reminder for the full list of matches and latest news ahead of them, check out the official app or head to the official website. Now, before we say goodbye, Kevin and Jonathan, I just want your moment of the night from any of the matches.
So many. I'm going to go for Ousmane Dembele because, unashamedly, he's one of my favourite players. So his goal on his comeback from injury, really big moment for him, and part of just a phenomenal display of strength from the champions, putting 7 past Bayer Leverkusen. Unbelievable.
I suppose let's go with Arsenal's first goal because it's about 90 seconds, 2 minutes after Julian Alvarez hits the bar. That could have spun the game one way. Arsenal get a set piece, and we know what Arsenal do from set pieces. They generally score from them. 2 more set piece goals tonight. That first one's so important. It sets them on the path to scoring another 3 in the next 10 minutes.
It has been a superb night of Champions League football that we have been treated to this evening with 43 goals scored in the 9 matches, which works out at just the 4.78 goals on average per match. Don't forget, you can download the official UEFA Champions League podcast shortly after every match night in this season's competition. My thanks to Kevin and Jonathan for their company this evening. Matchday Live will be on air from 8:45 CEST on Wednesday evening with full commentary then of Real Madrid versus Juventus, as well as all the goals as they go in from the rest of the games across Europe. Until then, from me, Natalie Sawyer, and the rest of the Matchday Live team, thank you for tuning in and goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.